Penguin Random House Audio presents A Kim Jong-il Production by Paul Fisher. Read for you by Stephen Park. A note on sources, method, and names. The primary source for this book is the first-hand account of their time and experiences in North Korea by Shin Sang-ok and Choi Eun-hee. Shin and Choi have written several memoirs and articles about the years they spent working for Kim Jong-il, which I have used as a starting point for the research and telling of this story, cross-checking dates and facts against other contemporary accounts, news archives, academic research, and original interviews. I have conducted nearly 50 original interviews with participants in the story, as well as North Korean defectors, either involved in Shin and Choi's own story or who simply lived in North Korea in the 1970s and 1980s and informed my description of that time. And while North Korea largely remains a mystery to outsiders, there are tools today that can help confirm or disprove information, such as Google Earth, used by many studying North Korea to locate buildings and landmarks described by those North Koreans who have escaped. Wherever possible, I have traveled to the locales of the action, to South Korea, Austria, Germany, Hungary, Hong Kong, and of course, North Korea. Most of the physical descriptions in the text are taken from contemporary photographs or footage. Dialogue is only in quotes if quoted in an original source, such as Shin and Choi's memoirs. On occasion, I have shortened dialogue, but I have made rigorous efforts not to excise elements that would alter the intended meaning or tone. Where dialogue was available from several different sources, I chose the translation that seems most accurate and natural in the context, or found the original source and commissioned a new translation from a professional native speaker. My own Korean is extremely rudimentary, so any errors of judgment are, of course, entirely my own. It has become a truism about accounts of North Korea that, because of the DPRK's isolation and lack of transparency, each story must be taken at the teller's word. I have endeavored to corroborate facts wherever it was possible to do so. A more detailed discussion of the process employed to verify Mr. Shin and Madam Choi's personal version of the facts can be found at the end of this book. Korean names are written with the surname first, followed by the personal name. For example, Kim is the family name, Jong-il the first name. As there is no fixed style regarding spelling, Kim Jong-il has sometimes been transliterated as Kim Chong-il and Choi Eun-hee as Cho Eun-hui. I have chosen the most common spellings for all names involved. When there was any doubt, I tried to write the names in the most natural, readable way for a Western reader. Until the early 20th century, Koreans traditionally made no use of family names. It was the Japanese Empire, when it colonized the peninsula, that legally required Koreans to do so. The vast majority of Koreans, seeing an opportunity to enhance the perceived prestige of their lineage, chose one of a handful of family names, Kim, Lee, Park, Pak, Shin, associated with the country's landed nobility, so that today only about 270 surnames are shared by over 75 million Koreans. Any people appearing here with the same surname are not related unless specifically indicated. Introduction. August 1982. The last thing Shin Sang-ok remembered was sitting in his cell, unable to feel his own heartbeat, too weak to move or stand. He had been held in a North Korean detention center for almost 2 years, crammed inside a solitary cell barely big enough to lie down in, with one tiny slit of a window high up on the wall and thick steel bars across it. Bugs teemed through cracks in the floor. Except for a 30-minute lunch break, a 10-minute supper, and a 30-minute sunning period in the prison yard, he was required to sit in the exact same position all day, head bowed and motionless, absolutely stock still, or suffer even greater punishment. He had been on a hunger strike for 5 days when he lost consciousness. Now, awakening in a prison infirmary, he struggled to breathe. The August air was hot and thick with humidity. A blinding headache blurred his thoughts. His mouth felt dry and metallic, and his stomach was
Sample complete. Ready to continue?